We could have picked a lot of women in the Bible today, but I've picked this story about Hannah in the Bible to talk about, to remember moms. You know, early in the week, I was formulating a sermon in my mind, and the Lord did it to me again, just like He did last week. I had my sermon all down. I had it on paper. I'm working through it. I'm studying it on Friday. He changes my mind. And so we go back and focus more on moms, which I've been thinking about all week anyway. And so we're going to look at this lady called Hannah today from 1 Samuel chapter 1. But before we do that, let me read for you just a little bit of an email that I got from somebody this week about being a mom, being a mother. A lot of truth in here, so let me read just a little bit of it for you. There's a lot of it, and I'm just going to read a little. Being a mother. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. That somebody doesn't know that once you've had a mother, normal is history. Once you've been a mother. Somebody also said that being a mother is boring, but that particular somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with no license. Somebody else said, good mothers never raise their voices, but that somebody never came out the back door just in time to see her little one hit the golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. Apparently, some of you have been there. Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first, but the reply, that somebody doesn't have five children. Somebody said a mother can find all the answers for her child-rearing questions in the books, but that somebody never had a child stuff beans up their nose and in their ears. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mom is labor and delivery, but that somebody never watched their little one get on the bus for the first time and wave so long. And that particular someone maybe never saw their little one grow up and get on a plane headed for combat in a far-off nation. Or that particular someone never received the news from the military or a policeman, your child isn't coming home. Somebody said a mom can stop worrying after her child gets married. That somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to worry about, with, and in conjunction with. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Huh? That's what I thought. Some of you had that feeling. That someone never had grandchildren. Amen? Someone said your mother knows you love them, so you don't have to tell her. That someone isn't a mother. I love you, mother. Take the time to tell your moms and your dads. We're going to talk about the heart of dad, too, pretty quick, but not today. We don't have time for that today. But we're going to talk about the mother's heart today, and we're going to talk about the father's heart on Father's Day. And so you can check it out on the big screen, or you can watch it in your Bible. I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 1, and it's a quite a bit of reading, a little more than I like, but to get the whole flavor, you need the whole chapter. And so let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. Excuse me, I don't know how warm it is out there, but I'm warmed up already. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zup in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zup the Ephraimite. You don't need to worry about all that. That isn't what we're going to focus on this morning. Elkanah, though, had two wives, and in my Bible it says, oops, behind that. Might not say that in yours because I added it in mine. That could be his first mistake. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, and Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. Remember, this is prior to the temple. This is prior to David and Solomon. So they're traveling to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, not necessarily to the temple. The priests of the Lord at that time were two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninna would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninna would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not eat. Verse 8, "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children?" I submit here that the brother didn't know her heart. "Why are you crying, Hannah, just because you have no children?" Listen then what he says. If he didn't add, if that wasn't enough, "You have me." As if that were a cure-all, I guess. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? I think perhaps he would rather not have heard the truthful answer from that. Verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and she went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." And as she prayed to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips were moving, but hearing no sound, he thought, "She has been drinking. Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." Some of you have been there, haven't you? In great anguish and sorrow. There's a very young mother in our first service, and I could hardly look out into the congregation because I know what she's been through in losing her firstborn a month or so ago. And some of you have been in great anguish, in sorrow over the loss perhaps of a child, or perhaps of choices, or perhaps of the direction that they have taken, perhaps of 100 other things. You have been in great anguish like Hannah and sorrow. But when Eli heard what she was really doing over there, he saw her lips moving. He saw her in anguish and in prayer. He was over here. He couldn't hear. He didn't know the request. But here's what he said. "In that case," as long as you're not drunk, he's saying, "in that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked him." You know what? She believed it. Look at what the Bible says. "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. She believed it. You know, one of the prerequisites we have when we come to the Lord in prayer is believing. Sometimes we come to him and say, "God, I suppose you really don't have time for me now, but let me check this out anyway." Sometimes we come and say, "Father, this may not be your will, but I'm going to lay it out there anyway." She came to him believing in anguish and sorrow, saying, "God in heaven, I'm broken here. I'm trusting you. If you'll bring me a son, I'll give him back to you." She came to him believing, and Eli said, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you your request." Verse 19, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. For she said, I asked the Lord for him. Isn't that good? I asked the Lord for him. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, but Hannah did not go. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned. Typically, in their time frame, this was around 3. And so she was going to have that time with this boy only up until about 3 when she would wean this little fella. Then she said, I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. This little boy of maybe 3 to 4 tops. Whatever you think is best, Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise. You know, he knew about this promise. He knew about her crying out to God at Shiloh a couple years back. He knew about her covenant to him. Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. He knew about that. He knew how hard it would be. This was her boy. This was her son. And that's why I believe he's coming to his senses a little more than he was a couple years ago when he said, 10 sons or me. He's coming around here and he says, may the Lord help you keep your promise. He knew what it was. So they stayed home. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. And sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, she said, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord. And he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. Do you get the flavor of this at this point? Here's a lady in anguish, in sorrow, with no children, cried out to God, please, God, give me a son. And if you give me a son, oh God, she says, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life. That's what she said. That was the covenant. Sometimes a mother's heart is so strong for her children, she cries out to God like that. Sometimes yours has been so strong for your children. Sometimes it's like the heart of Moses' mother. Remember the story? The Egyptian edict was, throw them all in the Nile. She was willing to defy the Egyptian edict that said, throw him in the Nile. I'm making me a basket and mine's going in the basket. He ain't going in the Nile. The mother's heart, overwhelmed with compassion for her children. Many moms and dads too know the heartache of no children like Hannah. The heaviness, wanting, longing for children. Many moms and of course, dads too, know the heartache of wayward children that have chosen not to walk with Jesus, have chosen to do their own thing, to walk with the world. Many moms know the heartache of children going off to school for the first day. And I bet you, if I ask you how many of you got pictures of that little one going to school the first day, I bet you got pictures, don't you? Many moms know the heartache better than anybody else of children gone off to war. Many moms, and of course dads fall in this category too, but all of these categories, know the heartache of children that are married and moved away. You know, sometimes in our minds we think, man, I can't wait till these kids grow up. I knew it. I knew you'd been there, some of you. And yet our heart is broken, and mom's heart is broken when they're married and move away. I don't mind saying, and this isn't about me or dads, this is about moms, but I don't mind saying I cried when my children married and moved away. The heart of a mother is strong for her children to know where they are, to know what they're doing. The heart of the mother, as I said earlier, perhaps it applies to you too, but somebody here this morning who had the child and is no more. The heaviness of that mother's heart. And oh, how we ache, moms ache for that child, those children. Remember what the Bible said. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And I submit to you that if we get nothing else today, remember that. There needs to be regular time of crying in anguish and bitterness to God. I was talking to a young lady this week. Got a couple, maybe three children. She was pouring out her heart to me. Her older one is not compliant. Certainly not with her. Certainly not with the rules of the law of the land. Certainly not with the laws of God. And she's crying out her heart to me through email. And she says, Jim, what do I do? And my simple, and perhaps you think this is not even realistic, but my simple request was pray. In anguish and sorrow for your children. The reply came back, not a bad idea. I hadn't thought of that. It would appear in this lady's heart and in her soul, it would appear the most important thing in Hannah's life was to be a mother. Oh God, she cried out, can I too be a mom? It would appear that the most important thing in her life was to have a boy, to have that son, to have Penina finally stop the ridicule, to stop the taunting, to stop the teasing, to stop the snickering, you don't have any kids yet, to stop all that. It would be apparent that she would want more than anything else to have this baby. But I submit to you, there's something more important in this woman's life. To honor, to know, and to be faithful to the Father in heaven. And here's why I say that. Look at verse 28 again. Now, after she had this baby boy, now after she fed this little boy from the mother's breast for these years and weaned him off, now she said, I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. You say, Jim, why'd she say that? This boy is 3 years old, maybe four, tops, three something. He needs his mommy. He needs his daddy. He needs his siblings. You know what? The Lord opened up her womb other times. She had more children too. When you read through this book called Samuel. But Hannah had made a vow to the Lord that she wasn't about to break. Yes, she wanted to be a mommy. Yes, she wanted to hold that baby. She wanted to see him run off to the wood shop when it got time or whatever it was. Go to school. But she made a vow to the Lord. And I think sometimes of your heartache, our heartache sometimes as parents, but I think particular in moms, sometimes we got to give them up to the Lord. When they've chosen to walk their own way. When they've chosen to make decisions that maybe you're not in agreement with. Sometimes we just got to give them up to the Lord and cry out in anguish and say, Father, take care of them. Children are on loan to us as parents from God. Did you know that? They're on loan to us. We are stewards of these precious little bundles. We are caretakers. And watch them grow and challenge you and make decisions, sometimes right, sometimes wrong, and have accomplishments. Sometimes becoming adults and making decisions that land them in jail. And maybe sometimes worse. And go through different challenges in life, marital challenges and hurt, etc., 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 that breaks the heart of mothers and fathers. And like I said, if we take nothing else from Hannah, this is when and why we need to cry out to God. Never, never forsake praying for our children. The mother's heart, I think, and I'm not a mother, but I think the mother's heart is more concerned about her children than herself. Their focus in life is not on themselves anymore when they've had children. It's on them babies. In the second chapter in 1 Samuel, this is right after she handed over her only child to Eli and to God. Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My heart rejoices. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." A mother's heart, and I'll get to this on Father's Day too, a mother and fathers, but a mother's heart today, first and foremost, is that her children know God. That's what she was doing. It did not matter to Hannah that whether or not she had this boy physically, as long as God had her boy. That's what mattered to her. She had made that covenant to him. Of course her heart said, "I want this baby. I want to raise him up some more. I want to see him go off to preschool and graduate and all this stuff." But her heart was, her covenant was to God. And what mattered to her more was that her son was God's son. I've said this before, and I believe I can speak for my beloved wife on this. And I believe this is what Hannah was saying. Doesn't matter to me whether my children are college presidents or grocery store janitors. Doesn't matter. But that they know Jesus. That's all I care about. That they know Him. That they serve Him. I don't care if they're the President of the United States or the Senator. Or a stay-at-home mom, which is a cherished role. But that they know Jesus. And Hannah was saying here, "I have made a covenant to God Almighty. I have asked Him for a son. He's given me the son. I have said to Him in my covenant, I'll give my son back to you." And that's what she did. Our life's ambitions, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, should be that our children are followers of Jesus, that they are God's children. And I know that's your heart. I know that's most of your hearts even today. Jim Cimbala and his wife, I think some of you know about Jim, pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle, and his wife directs the Tabernacle Choir. They like to talk about their daughter, Chrissy. And I don't have time to tell you the story, but let me tell you this much. Chrissy was raised in the church. She was raised in a Christian home. And she decided that the world was funner. The world had more to offer. The world had excitement and bright lights. And she gave up on her parents. And she gave up on the church. And she gave up on the Lord. And she went into the world. And she was gone out of their lives. There was months and months at a time they'd never see her. Gone, doing the things of the world. Fun, I guess. That's what she called it. That's what they called it. That's what the world calls it. Fun. Drugs and booze and sex and doing what the world does, walking away from Jesus. But they never gave up praying. They never gave up praying. And they weren't too proud to ask the church to pray for their daughter who'd stepped away from them and the church and most importantly stepped away from Jesus. They never gave up. And to make a long story longer, today Chrissy is a pastor's wife leading music and children in Children's Church. They never gave up. And there are a million other stories and you've got stories of your own of broken-hearted mothers. For various reasons, the mother's hearts, dads too, of course. But the mother's heart prays for her children year after year after year when they labor with life. Time after time after time, if they don't know Christ until Jesus has reached them, we don't give up. Too often, I fear, and I'm guilty of this, I was a child too. Don't ask my mom what I did, but I was. Too often as children, and perhaps husbands for that matter, we don't have a clue of the anguish of our mother's heart. The anguish in their hearts, watching their children go off to school for the first day, watching their children get hurt and get cut and bleed, watching their children get hurt by other kids, watching their children fall off, as it were, the kitchen counter and smack their head and seem a wretched experience, watching their children go through ugly times in life. Yes, some decisions that were not so good, perhaps some divorces even, hard times. I suspect we don't have a clue to the anguish of the mother's heart. I'm reminded of the anguish of the mother of Mary, who kneeled and sat at the foot of the cross and looked up with tears and wondered, "This is my boy." I wonder about the anguish that you have been through and the pain that you have been through. And I think that all too often we don't recognize the anguish in the mother's heart. Perhaps too often we as husbands are indifferent to their pain when we should be embracing them and comforting them through their difficult hour. Today, men and women, boys and girls, thank God for your mothers. Thank God for the institution of families, moms and dads. And if you have a chance and your mother is still available, tell her you love her and thank God for her. And church family, I got one more challenge for us too. You know what? When we know somebody is down and out, single moms, otherwise, when a mother is hurting, I'll get to dads, you just got to wait a month. But when we know when mothers are hurting, church family, we better be there for them. We better be there for them. We better be there like the ambulance waiting at the bottom of the precipice with outstretched arms saying, "How can I help? How can I get you through this? How can I encourage you?" That's where the church steps in for hurting mothers, hurting people. Let me close with this. We're going to sing a song, and I think it's from 493. Let me check quick. We're going to sing a song, and it's number 493. And some of you know this author by the name of Horatio Spafford. Who's heard of him? Some of you know him. Horatio Spafford was a man in Chicago in the mid-1800s. He was a wealthy man. He was a Christian. He loved the Lord. He was a successful lawyer, had accumulated a lot of property, a lot of wealth, as it were. Had five children. And I realize this is a story about a man, but mom is involved here too. Had five children, and sickness took their only boy. They were down to four girls. And then we hear about the great Chicago fire. You've heard about that. Wiped him out. Burned down all of his possessions. He was a rich man, but it ruined him financially. Then 2 years later, he had scheduled a trip for the family and himself to go to Europe, go to Western Europe someplace there. Got the passes, got on the ship. Well, actually, I got to back up. Got the passes for the family, and because of business dealings with the fire, he couldn't get on the ship with wife and five daughters. Four daughters. So he sent them on ahead. And mom and four daughters got on the ship. Not 2 hours out of the harbor into the Atlantic, they crashed with another ship. The boat sank. Most were lost. His dear wife got back to land. She survived. She sent him this telegram. This is all it said. Saved alone. In other words, I'm the only one left. That's all her telegram said. And shortly thereafter, as Horatio Spafford made arrangements to get to the East Coast to be with his grieving wife, who had just been there with her four little girls, they were now at the bottom of the ocean. He was there to be with her. They again got plans, got on a ship. They still had to go to Europe. They still had to conduct the business. And as this second ship embarked upon the Atlantic, got out over that place in the ocean, the captain came to Horatio and he said to him, "Brother, this is the place where your children are at." And while they were in that place in the Atlantic, the Spirit of the living God came on this man who was a Christian, and he'd now lost it all. But his wife, he had his blessed wife, little boy, four girls, belongings, all gone. And yet when he got in that place in the Atlantic, the Spirit of God filled him with this song. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And the second verse that says, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his blood for my soul." He lost it all, but he could say, "It is well with my soul, because I know that God is real. I know that there's a God in heaven, and I love him. And my children loved him, and I know where they're at." And he could say with certainty, as he penned this song, "It is well with my soul." Let's sing it together. Thank you.
Is that your heart's cry today, brothers and sisters? Is it well with your soul, even though the sea billows roll? Trust in the Master. Look to Him through the difficult days, the difficult times in life. As you rely on Him, let your heart say, "It is well with my soul." Let's pray. Father, it is good that we can come to you and just say, Father, Abba, Father. It is good, Father, that we can have a relationship with you that's real. It is good, O God, that your grace is sufficient for us. It is good, O God, that you walk with us through life, even when it gets heavy. Thank you, Father. Thank you for each man and woman here today, each boy and girl. Bless their days, O God, this day. Help them to have a great day of celebration, celebrating moms, celebrating you. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, to a closer walk with you, I pray. Dismiss us now with your blessing and guard us in this pathway called life, that we might be faithful, obedient followers of Jesus that can say it is well, no matter what the outcome. In Jesus' name. Amen.